thrills my heart. Maybe the only one that's thrilled about it here, but it thrills my heart. Praise God, I can go in. You may not realize the significance of that until the day, if you're saved, that you get to go in. Every bit of dignity you've ever had is going to be thrust out the door. What a blessing. Thank the Lord for it. As we open our Bibles now to the final chapters of Joshua, verses of chapter 10 of the book of Joshua, and then all of chapter 11, and then on into chapter 12, which we're not going to spend a lot of time at all looking at tonight. But in this, we are finding ourselves in what I am calling a transitional part of a transitional book. What we are seeing here is the area in Scripture that is describing the cities and the regions and even the kings that Joshua and his army of Israel, they had conquered in Canaan. Now, the last part of chapter number 10, it is continuing to give the various regions that were surrounding and really even beyond the area of Gibeon that we're familiar with. That was all in the south. But in chapter number 11, it is moving to the areas that they had conquered. That was in the north. Now, as we can see now, as we have been in this study, we can see a little bit more about what Joshua's strategy really was. His strategy was to go into the south and totally cut them off, basically cut the nation in half and conquer the south, and then move suddenly and rapidly upon the northern parts of the land of Canaan. It was a brilliant strategy. As a matter of fact, if you study history, you will find that other great military leaders in their campaigns, they used the same strategy as Joshua did. Alexander the Great and Napoleon both used the same strategies that Joshua did, and that tells us that Joshua was likely one of the greatest and most brilliant military minds that has ever lived. Now, with this in mind, I want us to get this idea in our heart tonight, now that we know what the layout and the landscape really was. So when we consider all of this and we take this to note to our heart, this area of Scripture, it is really marking the end of Joshua's wartime leadership. Now that's very important. This is marking the end of Joshua's wartime leadership. We're having a transition that's coming in this area of Scripture. Not his leadership as a whole in general, just his wartime leadership. Now, there were still some significant pockets of resistance that had to be conquered in the land before they were going to be able to fully possess it. But for the most part, the land had actually here been conquered, and it was time to begin the process coming into chapter 12 and 13 and 14 to start dividing up the land among the tribes for them to go in and possess. So it is with this that we have now arrived at our theme verse for this whole series, and that has been Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. So if you're able, rise to your feet with me, and let's just read this verse again. I hope that we've memorized it by now. And if you want to read it with me, let's do that, may we? Verse number 15, the Bible says, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses." Now, for Joshua to have left nothing undone, not only in his own spiritual life seeking victory, but also for the entire land, all of Israel, the entire nation, for him to have left nothing undone, listen, because he was not perfect, because he was human just like you and I are, there had to be some progression. Are you following me? He had to make some progress in his spiritual life. He couldn't just stay on one level at all times. He had to make progress moving up in his spiritual life. Progression if he was going to maintain victory for God and for the nation and for his people. There's a lot of things that we could see right here in this area of Scripture. But what I want us to do for a little while tonight is just do a little bit of an overview of what I'm going to call stepping stones of leaving nothing undone. Holy Father, help us tonight. Lord, purge me of anything that would be in my life that would hinder the Spirit of God from falling upon us. Lord, I plead the blood of Christ. I pray you'd help your people tonight. Help your preacher. Challenge us from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A group of tourists, they were visiting a picturesque village where they walked upon an old man. He was sitting on a bench over beside a fence. One of the tourists, in a rather patronizing way, he asked the old man, he said, "Were there any great men born here?" To which the old man replied quickly and said, "Nope, only babies." Nope, only babies. I know it seems like that we wouldn't even have to say this, but let's just let this get in our heart for a moment. Great men and women, they were not born great. Now, we're going to talk about greatness in the next coming weeks, greatness for God. But great men and women, they were not born great. They all started as babies. They started on a low level, but it was through the stepping stones, be it of time, be it of truth, be it of trials even, trusting, and even all the various aspects of life. It was through the stepping stones of all these things that they became great for the Lord. Church, listen to me. Living a victorious Christian life that leaves nothing undone in it, it does not happen overnight. It does not happen by accident, but you have got to strive for this. You've got to fight through some things if you're going to be great for the Lord. Now, we've studied all kinds of things about the life and the leadership of this man, Joshua. But as we come to this 11th chapter, what we're really going to spend our time in, and we're going to look at four things tonight that are just kind of scattered throughout this 11th chapter. When we look at this, we see some areas that we see a baby even in his life, in his leadership role, his wartime leadership. We see him maturing into a man for the service of God. And there are areas here that are stepping stones that we need to understand. Of course, Joshua being a picture of the victorious Christian life, it is an Old Testament book that teaches New Testament victory. So if we're going to leave nothing undone and live a victorious Christian life, we're going to have to step over some things, and we're going to have to take these stepping stones. So in this, Joshua first of all teaches us that we must leave nothing undone, get it, because of desperate fear. You can't be afraid to leave everything undone. You can leave nothing undone because of desperate fear. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, there was a mother who was tucking her young son into bed. And she was just about to turn out the light, close the door, and walk away, when with a trembling voice, the little boy said, "Mommy, will you stay in here with me tonight?" To which mommy, she replied, smiling, and in a tender voice herself, she said, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in daddy's room." And after a few moments of silence, in that very same trembling voice, that little boy, he said, "That big sissy." Fear, right? Sometimes fear, it can be misdirected. Sometimes fear, it can be misunderstood even. But listen to me, friend, when fear really grips your heart and really grips your soul, it will cause you to do some strange and some strong emotional things that you would have never done before. Fear will ruin our life for God. Fear will stand in the way of spiritual victory, of us leaving nothing undone for Him. And so as Joshua and Israel here, as they were making their plans, plans to continue to conquer the northern regions and the areas of the land of Canaan, the first five verses of chapter number 11, which is where we are studying, they are telling us that there was another alliance. Can you believe it? We talked about five kings that were coming against them this morning, but here we have another alliance of another set of kings that were coming against them again. And as these kings were making this alliance to come against them, they were from all over that northern area. They were from the plains and from the mountains. They were from the east and they were from the west. It would appear by verses 1 and verse 10, you can look at it, that a man by the name of King Jabin, he was from Hazar. He was the ringleader of all of this. And the fact is, this was a great host that was coming against them in this alliance. As a matter of fact, it was probably the greatest host that Israel had ever seen. So being reminded again that Joshua, though he seems inhuman to us, he seems like this mighty man, man, and he was, but he was still human, just like you and I. And he was flesh. Amen. And so he struggled. He wasn't perfect. And because he looked and he saw this great host, the greatest host that had come against him yet, they were coming, and there was a level of him being troubled. There was a level of fear that he was experiencing. So it is with this that we look in verse number 6 and we read these words. And the Lord said unto Joshua, he said, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow, I love this, about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Joshua right here, he had seen God deliver Israel out of the land of Egypt. He had seen God protect and provide for them all while they were on their wilderness journey. He had seen the Lord bring them over the River Jordan. He had seen God give them a mighty victory at Jericho and Ai and literally everyone else that was in their path. But in spite of everything that Joshua had seen God do, in spite of it all, there was still a great level of fear that he was experiencing in his Christian life, in his quest for victory. Though he was this veteran wartime general, this man who had truly been through a lot. Matter of fact, he was an extremely mature man of faith. He had a spiritual walk that was extremely mature. Joshua, factoring all of these things in, he was experiencing this fear. And that fear, it was still causing him in this instance to at least have the emotion of, I'm just going to leave this one undone. I need to take a step back for just a little while. Joshua was experiencing fear. Now remember with me, if you would please, this is not the first time that old Joshua had experienced fear. Now we've talked about fear a lot through this study, haven't we? Matter of fact, if you go all the way back to chapter 1, in the very first opening verses of the story of the book of Joshua, you find the Lord telling Joshua, hey, be courageous. Hey, be not afraid. Hey, fear not. Joshua struggled with fear. That's no accident. If this man Joshua struggled with it, it's no accident. He had a lot of things that brought fear into his life. Joshua had to learn how to deal with his fear. He had to learn how to make progress in his fear. He had to learn how to climb over some stepping stones, listen to me, of just trusting God and overcoming the fear of his life. He had fear of failure. He had fear of lost ground. He had fear as well of living in the shadow of old Moses. Folks, if Joshua struggled with fear, this mighty man of victory, you can rest assured that there are people sitting in here tonight, and under the sound of my voice, you are struggling with fear. Amen. Whatever the enemy alliance that is coming against you, you are struggling with fear. If we're going to live a victorious Christian life, and if we're going to leave nothing undone in it, we are going to have to start making strides. We are going to have to start making progress, climbing over some stepping stones and just simply trusting God with the fear that we have. There are mornings when we wake up and there's just fear that is gripping us. We go to work, fear that is gripping us. We come home and things going on at home, you don't know what you're going to get into when you get into the house, and fear is just gripping us. You cry yourself to sleep at night because fear is just gripping us. And there are doubtless many of us here tonight, many of us that are listening, and we are dealing with this matter of fear on a regular basis. We don't know how to handle it. Fear is crippling our lives. Is there fear in your life tonight? Something that is causing you to tremble maybe just a little bit over some of the things that you are facing, some of those things that nobody else in life knows about. But is there fear in your life? Is there some letter maybe that you need to write, some conversation that you need to have to fix a broken relationship, but the fear of the outcome and how it's going to go, it is causing you to leave that undone? Is there some tithe? Is there some offering that you are to give to the Lord? Is there some service that you are to do for Him? But fear of not being able to afford it, or fear of somebody else being able to do it better, or you failing at it, is causing you to leave that undone. Is there a friend? Is there a neighbor? Is there a family member? Is there a co-worker? You just need to tell about the Lord. I mean, listen, they're lost. You know they're lost. I think I'm talking to everybody on this one right here, right now. You know they need God, but yet there is a fear that is keeping you from doing that because you are afraid of being rejected. You are afraid of pushing a relationship away. Fear is gripping your soul. The truth of the matter is, every one of us in this building tonight, we have experienced this emotion and this struggle that we have with fear when it comes to taking strides for the Lord and living a victorious Christian life that leaves nothing undone. Fear is crippling believers today in being able to do just that. I want you to think about it. What is the one thing in your life this evening that you are fearful about? The one thing that you're not willing to take a step forward and do and go to the next step and the next level for the Lord, there is fear there. Maybe it is a fear. Maybe somebody's here, somebody's listening. You're lost. You've never given your life to the Lord, but there is a fear there. There is an apprehension of what somebody would think. There is an apprehension, a fear of what you are going to have to change in your life to make a choice for God. Listen, let me assure you that when you take that first step toward Him, that fear will go away in a heartbeat. It'll be replaced with grace, joy, love, happiness, and you'll never regret the moment that you followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are those of us here today, we are gripped by fear, and it's causing us to leave a whole lot of things undone. I may be talking to somebody tonight that God is dealing with your heart about missions. Maybe God is dealing with your heart about preaching the Word of God, about serving the Lord in this place. But fear is standing in the way of you taking a step for the Lord. Fear is gripping you. No matter the fear, Joshua, he was going to face it and he was going to fight it. He said, "Dear God, I got some fear about me." The Lord saw it. And so what did he do? He said, "Be not afraid." He said, "Fear not. Because tomorrow I'm going to give you victory." All of this crowd, this great alliance that is coming before you right now, coming after you, I'm going to let you have victory over them. At this time, he said tomorrow. So I'm telling you tonight, leave nothing undone. Leave nothing undone because of desperate fear. The Lord told Joshua that, but he also had a second thing. Leave nothing undone because of developing factors. Now, what I mean by that is human reasoning. How many things have we left undone in our spiritual life because human reasoning said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Not popular to do it, not the time to do it," and then you run out of time and it never gets done. Developing factors. Now, follow it. Beginning in verse number 7 and throughout all the way verse number 15, we are given much of the account of Joshua facing and fighting all of this alliance that was coming against them. Now, when we study the book of Joshua, you will learn that it is a very gory time in history. If you really study it deep, you'll see it's a very blood-shedding time in history. I mean, literally, Joshua literally cleaned house of all of Canaan. I mean, he wiped the floor with anybody who dared to come against and try to stand in the way of the work of God. He didn't negotiate, especially after Gibeon. He didn't fall into that trap again. Joshua cleaned house. See, the way these verses tell the story and the way they develop, Joshua and Israel's men of war, they not only faced it, they not only fought it, but they totally annihilated their enemies, showing no mercy whatsoever, to the point that all of their enemies, they began to retreat and retreat and retreat, just like we talked about this morning with that other alliance that had come against them. This is a different one. They retreated all the way to the point they began to run away from them, squealing in desperate defeat and terror. So Joshua did what human reasoning today says that you do not do. Joshua ran after them. Joshua not only ran after them, but he tracked them down. And Joshua caught them, and Joshua totally eliminated them, unlike Afghanistan. But they ran after them. They said, we're going to eliminate our enemy. Human reasoning today says that you do not do that. As verse number 8 says, until they look at this, left them none remaining. Look at verse number 11. And they smote all of the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword. Now look at this. Don't miss this. Utterly destroying them. He says there was not any left to breathe. I mean, they wiped them all out. Then he goes on to say that he burnt the city of Hazar. He destroyed every bit of it. The enemy was running away from them. Now, human reasoning says they're defeated. The enemy nor the people, they were no threat at them at this point. And human reasoning says they're defeated. Just let them go. Leave them alone. You don't have to go after them. They are defeated. Human reasoning says don't go after your enemy. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Joshua knew he had to go after him.
That's right.
We remember again that for 400 plus years, these were the same people that had a chance to get right. These were the same people who had an opportunity to follow God and to surrender over to God and to His work. These Canaanites, they were demonic, possessed people. They were God haters. And if Joshua would have let them run away, they would have come back stronger and done a greater harm to God's people had he just simply let them go. Human reasoning said, don't do it. But now I want you to look again at verse number 9. And Joshua did unto them, as the Lord bade him. And verse number 15, as our theme verse, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded. The Lord commanded Moses. Three times the word commanded is given here, and it's in reference to what God said that they were supposed to do. I point that out just simply to let you know Joshua was in the will of God. God said you are to eliminate your enemy. Human reasoning said in this instance, don't do it. God, however, said do it. If you're going to live a victorious Christian life, you've got to do this. Now, Joshua's life and his circumstances, they were fluidly evolving. I mean, things in his life were changing quickly. And again, human reasoning was saying, don't do this. But you got to realize things were different in Joshua's day in Joshua 11 than they were in Joshua's day in Joshua 1. Things had changed. There were circumstances that had developed. And in his Joshua 1 day, he could not have ever imagined letting anyone live, letting anyone go. He knew that they had a lot of work to do. But in his Joshua 11 day, remember, victory was already within their hands. And it would have been easy for him to have said, hey, we've already won. These guys, we can let these guys go. We've already won the battle. Human reasoning says, let's just let them go. Now, here is the disclaimer. And I really want you to hear this. I am not suggesting or referring to killing people. I'm going to be real clear about that, okay? But we must remember that the book of Joshua, it is a picture of the victorious Christian life, a spiritual life of victory. So in likeness of this very thing, we need to know that there are some things, and there are some developing factors in this life. There are some human reasonings that we just cannot negotiate if we're going to live a victorious Christian life. Brother Blake dealt with this so well back in the month of May with Obadiah. There are some things in the people you can't negotiate with.
Amen.
You cannot do it. And that's where Joshua was. You cannot negotiate with this stuff. You'll leave a whole lot of things undone based on human reasoning, based on the way that your life has developed and factors in your life. When it comes to giving to the work of God, have you slacked up on any of those things just because you think maybe the church is doing a little bit better? They don't need it. Human reasoning says don't. God says do.
When it comes to this matter of serving the Lord, have you slacked off of your service to the Lord because there's not any place that you think for you to serve? Because you know somebody else will eventually do it? Or maybe that fear is creeping in and you think in your mind that you can't do as good of a job. Human reasoning says don't. God says do it. When it comes to witnessing and telling people about the Lord, human reasoning in certain circumstances, it tells you don't do it. But God says do it. There are some things that human reasoning should not have rule over what God says to do. Human reasoning or developing factors, they are going to cause many of us to drop our heads in shame on the day of judgment. We're going to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we left a whole lot of things undone for God that we never were supposed to leave undone. Because we allowed human reasoning to get in our way. Don't start negotiating with yourself about what you should or should not do for the Lord. How many things are left undone in our lives today, whether it be evangelistically or in the service of God or what other ever effort there may be? What things are left undone because you yourself and the devil involved with that have convinced you in your mind, human reasoning, I've got to do this, I've got to do work, that. You will justify anything not to come to church. Human reasoning says don't do it. God says to do it. I've got to go to work. Oh, I got to go and do this. It's the right thing for me to go and do this and to go and do that and run all over the place. And what we're doing is we're allowing human reasoning to keep us from leaving nothing undone for the Lord. Developing factors in our life. Now, with Joshua in his case, you've got to watch this. Joshua, he would have never pressed on for the Lord had he given in to the developing factors. Hey, these guys are running. I don't have to go after them. No, God said go after them. The enemies that are in your life today, they may have gone away from you. You may have gotten a little victory over them in a moment of temptation. God, through His goodness and His Holy Spirit, gave you victory as the devil was tempting you. And those enemies may have run away from you and you let your guard down. You rest assured of the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that they're going to come right back around to you and they're going to try to bring you down again. No, you've got to stay on guard. You've got to stay maintaining your victory as we talked about this morning, because they're going to come back. And if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you better throw human reasoning out the door. I cannot stress enough, you do not negotiate spiritual things. God has said do some things, and you better not allow human reasoning to get in the way. You're going to leave a whole lot of things undone. What's heavy on my heart these days is those kids that we're trying to raise, them grandkids or whatever, that are watching our lives due to our human reasoning is tending them down the wrong path of life. Developing factors. Preacher, they play baseball. They played baseball on Sunday when I played baseball. But I didn't play. I remember the night I got baptized that I was supposed to, it's a long story, but I was supposed to play baseball that night. And it was a Wednesday night, had youth group, and I was supposed to play that night. And it was an important game. And I literally walked out of the baptistry, put my baseball uniform on in the back, and I still made it in the fourth inning. I got out there and I played baseball, but I had a place I needed to be. God was bigger than me than all of that stuff. Human reasoning would have said no, and we're allowing today, be it moms and dads, or be it grandmas or grandpas, or just you and I as people in the church, we are allowing human reasoning, us to justify things, us not to do them, that God has already said and commanded, you are to do it. Amen. Human reasoning is causing us to leave a whole lot of things undone. Joshua would have never known victory. Never known victory had he not gotten it over his fear, had he not fought through his fear, and had he not just simply said, human reasoning is not going to affect the decisions that I make for the Lord. I'm not going to negotiate with the things of God. No matter how quickly life changes or how much our world changes, there are some things that belong to Him.
There are some things that he has commanded us to do, and we're going to stand before God one day dropping our head in shame if we allowed human reasoning or developing factors in life to allow us not to leave everything undone for the Lord. So Joshua, the Lord is telling him right here, he is saying, leave nothing undone because of desperate fear. Leave nothing undone because of developing factors, but leave nothing undone, get it, because of deepening fatigue. Because of deepening fatigue. I want you to look at verse number 18. This fascinates me. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. You get that? Joshua made war a long time with all those kings, chapters 10 and 11. They are taking place over an extended period of time. We'll learn this next week, but chapters 1 to through 9, that happened pretty quick, okay? And on into 10, that even happened pretty quick. When you get into the latter part of 10 and on into 11, this was developing over an extended period of time. And I mean, there was a lot of things that were taking place here. And folks, the long days and the stress of all of these things, it was taking a toll on the people of God. Bottom line, look at me and listen to me. The people of God, they were just tired. They're just tired. They'd been fighting the battle so long. That the battle was real and the battle was hot and they were just tired. And though they had been there before, they had been tired before. They had been worn down before. We've talked about that. But this was different. This was a deeper fatigue. We're talking about something here, and we'll learn this next week, that it extended on now for 15 or 20 years in time. This was an extended battle that they were in. And they were just tired. But you know what kept them going for God? Joel, they could sniff victory. Though they were tired, though the battle was real, they could see the finish line in sight. They could see that victory was not far away. So what did they do? They kept on taking stepping stones to leave nothing undone. They fought through all of that fear. They dealt with all of the factors, all those human reasoning. They just went on through it, and they woke up every day, though they were so tired, though they were so stressed out, and they kept on going for God because they knew that this is what the Lord had told them to do. Now, let me be kind, and I want to be kind and honest, but something that I've noticed at Linwood Baptist Church, and the fact is, full disclosure, it's probably everywhere. It's not just here, but I have certainly noticed it here, is when we have a busy and a hard ministry week. Okay, Vacation Bible School, we just came through that. We talked about this morning revivals and mission conferences. Maybe even when we have an all-day Saturday event, like a fall festival, or something of that nature. The Sunday that follows, it is down in attitude. It is down in action. It is down in attendance. And there's no doubt the reason for that is because of the toll that it has taken on our minds and our bodies. Let me help the church here. I'm all for activities. Nothing gets in the way of the Lord's day. Amen. Nothing gets in the way of the Lord's day. And you got to fight through some things. Professing Christians today, they just don't even know how to function when they're tired. When it comes to spiritual things, they just don't even know how to function. I mean, we can't stand a stressful week. Okay? We just can't do it. I mean, we just fall apart, don't we? Oh, how the generations have changed. I once heard about the great preacher John Wesley. Many of you have heard John Wesley. He was that great English preacher of the 1700s. Listen to this. Said that he traveled over 250,000 miles on horseback. riding a minimum of 12 miles a day for 40 years. He preached, it's estimated, over 400,000 sermons. He wrote 400 books. He spoke 10 languages. I can barely speak English in redneck. He spoke 10 languages. And at the age of 83, he was annoyed at himself because he could not write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. At 86 years of age, he was ashamed of himself because he could not preach more than 2 sermons a day. In his diary, he complained, and his family found this later, he complained of his inability to get up early. He complained about his tendency now to lay in bed until 5:30 in the morning. These were the men of God that changed and shook the world. And yet we can't even or won't even have a 10-minute daily devotion in our own personal life. We won't even spend 15 minutes of meaningful prayer every day. We won't even attend 5 hours maximum at church per week. We won't even, in some cases, come to visitation, Bible study, Great Commission Day once a month. And if we do, there is a part of us that just does not want to. Our heart is just not in it. And many people, I hear it, I'm sure you hear it, they have no problem letting you know how tired they are. They have no problem making sure that you know they've had the hardest week of anybody in the history of the world. And you're blessed that I'm here. And many of us have no problem letting folks know. And then we sit by and we complain about the state of our hearts, our homes, and our houses of worship, and the mess that our nation is in right now. But yet we won't spend 10 minutes in devotion. We won't spend 15 minutes in meaningful prayer. I'm telling you, if we all just spent 15 minutes in meaningful prayer a day, God would change this church and shake this town. Amen. If every one of us did that. We aren't faithful to the things of God. It was a man that gave his life 250,000 miles on horseback. Many of us have heated and air-conditioned seats. We still can't do the work of God. And they were doing far more for the Lord than we are in our day. Can you imagine when we get to heaven what we're going to learn of everything that we left undone? In the service of God, the motto of those old time saints from just a few years ago, it was if I had to do it all over again for the Lord, I'd do it. But the motto of this modern day so-called Christian crowd that we are having today is simply this: if I had to do it all over again, I'd be too tired. I'd be too tired. And again, those guys that came up and paved the way for us in the past 50 years and back to Wesley's day, these guys were not, they were doing it with far less and they were doing far more for God. We've got it made. But we've become so soft and we're leaving everything undone because we're just so tired. We need to know that we are fooling nobody. We're not fooling God. God sees our hearts. He sees when we could do more for Him, but we're using fear. We're using factor. We are using fatigue that is keeping us from doing what God really wants us to do, to live a victorious Christian life, to leave nothing undone for Him. When you tell me something that is more important than serving God in this life, then I will tell you to go do it. outside of caring for your dear family and maybe some difficult circumstances or your own physical needs yourself. You need to know that He ought to have preeminence. He ought to have the priority in everything that we do for Him. And we're going to learn we left so much undone for God. Because of fear. Because of factors. Because of fatigue. Joshua would have never overcome all of his fatigue had he not first taken the stepping stone that he was not going to let human reasoning or the developing factors stop him from it. And then he would have never been able to go over that human reasoning stepping stone had he not already made a decision way back then in chapter 1 that he was going to get victory over his fear. Some of us today need to go backwards a few weeks, days, months, and years, and we need to look back a little bit of time to determine why we're struggling so bad with victory now in our Christian lives, in our service to the Lord. We need to take stepping stones of leaving nothing undone for Him. We need to know that we need to leave nothing undone because of desperate fear and because of developing factors, because of deepening fatigue. But fourthly, you need to leave nothing undone because of the difficult fight. The difficult fight, verses 19 to 22, you look at it, you read it later. It tells us a little bit more of the details of the difficulty of the fight that Joshua had, and they were taking the northern part of the land of Canaan. As they were conquering it, we see that it was a tough fight. You look again back in verse number 18. Joshua made war a long time. This wasn't overnight. This wasn't something that just happened one day. He had to fight a long, long time for God. He had to fight through the fear, fight through the factors. He had to fight through all of the fatigue. A long time he had to keep fighting. Look at verse 23. So Joshua took, somebody tell me the next two words. The whole land. He took everything. He left nothing undone. He took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. We'll look at that next week. And the land rested from war. They fought a long time, but they got the job done. Don't miss the words that are given to us here. So Joshua took the whole land. Because they are telling us that this was a progression. He didn't take it all at once. It was plane by plane. It was city by city. It was region by region. It was king by king. Stepping stone over stepping stone. He went over this one. He went over that one. And he fought through all of the fear. He fought through the fatigue. He fought through the factors. And when the dust settled, the old boy had left nothing undone in the difficulty of his fight that God had not only given him to do and commanded him to do, but get it, that God had allowed him to do. It's just a privilege to serve the Lord. It's just a privilege. It should not be something that you have to force yourself. Sometimes you have to force yourself in energy. I get that. I'm talking about in your spirit. You know what I'm talking about. There's a spiritual problem when you just don't want to serve God. Sometimes you got to take an Advil for your headache. That doesn't mean you don't want to serve the Lord. But God allowed him to serve him. What are you leaving undone in your life? Because you're not embracing the fact that God is allowing you, somebody that is a filthy, wretched, rotten, good-for-nothing person that deserves to be in hell, God is letting you serve him. I still can't fathom the fact that he's put me in this place to pastor this great church. I can't fathom that. How many, there's no telling how many people in this room alone that could do a far greater job than this old wreck. In this mess that I am, I can't fathom it. I'll tell you, by God's grace, if he allows me to wake up in the morning, I'm going to wake up, and with joy in my heart, I'm going to get in the Word of God and start preparing the messages and start doing what I need to do, because it's a joy to serve the blessed Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you, old Joshua, he would have never finished his fight had he not gotten victory way back here and taken the stepping stones over the fear and taken the stepping stones over the factors and taken the stepping stones over the fatigue. He would have never finished his fight. The baby, he was becoming a man. And he was step by step going over the stepping stones of time, of trust, of trials, of trusting, and of training, so the Lord could take him, and so God could develop him, so he could leave nothing undone. And when it was all said and done, remember Joshua's wartime leadership, it's a transition. And when it was all said and done, the last part of verse 23 says, the land rested from war. That's the nation as a whole. We'll talk about the rest of that further later. But no matter how we slice it, no matter how we dress it up, listen to me, child of God, you're going to have to fight. You can fight your life away from the Lord, out of the land of victory and the life of victory, leaving all kinds of things undone. You're still going to fight. Or you can fight holding the hand of Almighty God. I've done it both ways. Can I just be honest? I've done it both ways. I have kicked against the pricks. I have forced myself to serve the Lord. I had all the business ambitions in the world, and I was pursuing them. That was the priority of my life. It was not serving God until August the 8th day of 2002, when I got the call to come over to Mom and Dad's house, our house now. And Dad sat down with Anita and I and Mom and told us that Mom had cancer. 3.5 years later, she was with the Lord. You know, Chad, I often wonder, if God had to go to drastic means to get my attention. I don't know. I'll learn one day in heaven. And over stepping stones of time, and I'm talking years of time, it really all commenced with that day, but when I laid there and stood there and I watched my mom saw her laying in a casket on April the 7th, 2006. I saw her laying in a casket. And there was a lady that came up beside me and threw her arm around me. She was an older lady. And she said, your mother touched every life that she could ever reach. And I thought, how many lives have I really touched? What a really leave? And he used that to change my life. There's a passion burning within me today to fight through all of the fatigue, all of the factors, and all of the fear, hopping over these stepping stones that I may leave nothing undone, and serve him because he's allowing me to do it. Brother Tim, you can come on to the piano. The work of Japanese painter Hakusei. It spanned many, many decades of time until 1849, when he died at the age of 89. But toward the end of his life, the artist, he had totally dismissed all of the work that he had done before he was 50 years old. He had totally dismissed it all. It was only at the age of 70 that he said that he produced anything that was noteworthy of attention after the age of 70. On his deathbed, he said these words. He said, if heaven had granted me 5 more years, I could have become a real painter. One of the greatest painters the world's ever known. He came to the end of his life and he realized that there was a lot of things he'd left undone. If we came to the end of our lives today, friends, and remember, we always could, in those final fleeting moments, I wonder how many things would flash before our eyes and in our minds of all the stuff that we left undone. Things you've heard preached. Things you've been taught as a child. Things that you know in your spirit and your conscience, this is right. I got to do it. Oh, but fear. Oh, but the factors. Human reasoning. Life changes. Oh, I'm just so tired, the fatigue. No, it's a tough fight. I want to be faithful to the end, so I'm the one. When I'm entering the gates, says, come on in. I can go in and celebrate. Because I left nothing undone. Let's rise to our feet. How many of us tonight just need to go over some steps?